What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. Ooh, we introduce you to members of our church staff, people from our community, and I always find it to be a treat and a treasure. Per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
My utmost for his flyest, Hallie. How are you?
That is so awesome. I'm blessed. How about you?
Well, Hallie, I had a great weekend with my teens who come to Climax.
Awesome.
We did our annual clothing drive.
Oh, cool.
Which is just a really important time where teens who have clothes that they've either outgrown or just not in style anymore, not this season style, they can bring those in and donate them to families who are in need.
That's so cool.
It was so heartwarming, Hallie. We had about 500 families come in and, you know, they're wearing what I would consider pretty basic stuff.
Sure.
And then they leave, and Hallie, it really warms your heart when you just see, you know, these families just kitted out with, you know, Supreme, Golf, Nike, Skims, Lululemon, Fenty, just amazing stuff. And you look at them and you're going, they don't look poor to me.
That is awesome.
It was really, really great.
That just really shows us how good God is. It really does.
You know, I am upset though right now.
Oh,
I'm
no.
not sure if you've been following the whole Eminem controversy.
Oh, of course I have. I mean, our country's in danger.
Really? And, you know, as these candy companies, they're basically just using candy and making candy as gay as possible. And that is problematic. And it's something that I've been telling all my kids, hey, don't really be checking the candy that you're eating because the candy could be gay. Well, Hallie, today was no different. Of course, we had all stopped eating M&Ms because they're all gay. And today, look at this. I bought this bag of
gummy bears.
Haribo candies.
Uh-huh.
Gummy bears. Yeah, gummy bears. You see these here?
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know it, Hallie, I opened them up and these aren't bears.
What is it?
Look at the shape of this one. I know.
That's a penis.
It's a blue horsey.
Oh.
I don't want to say the P word, but you know what I mean. We call it your horsey in Australia.
I think you can say penis because it's like a medical term.
Well, I don't want to say that.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm going, guys, they've basically put these blue horsies in the bags of gummy bears so that all we're doing is experimenting with putting them in our mouths. And I just think that is sick.
Yeah, they're trying to get kids to learn how to put penises in their mouths.
Right.
Honestly, this blue one, that looks like it has the full, like, you know, what comes at the back of the penis, you know, at the bottom.
Oh, it has everything. It has all the details,
testicles,
doesn't it?
Or gonads, I guess you would say medically. It's a gonad going into a shaft
of
a penis.
The whole thing.
Wow. So, horsey, huh? I should be careful and know that if I'm around an Australian, not to talk about, you know, horses the way I normally would.
Right. Well, we have different names for things, Hallie. But
do you have other, like, what are other names in Australia for penis? I should be careful.
Well, we call it the mischievous boy.
Okay.
The old bones and stones, as I said.
Okay.
Cyclops.
Oh, wow.
I guess that's obvious. Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan.
Yeah. Your Todd Dodger. Your Rue Candle.
Oh.
Jack of Clubs.
Sure.
Jim Jeffries. Time Out Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Risky Roger.
Okay.
Oh, we've got a lot of names for it, but we just don't say the P word very much.
Ah, got it. Okay, good to know. Wow.
So we got to be careful, Hallie, because it's indoctrination via one of the most obvious things that kids want to eat, and now they're putting this in their mouths.
Yep. They're trying to... this is a miseducation of our kids. Let me see this.
It's just sick.
Yeah, it's an outrage and we're under attack. And, you know, as soon as you normalize that there are penises, you know, I just hope the rapture happens, to be honest. But, well, are you going to eat these? Because I could
take them off your hands.
You know, this says Haribo Gold Bears. Oh, great. It's a limited time party hat shape.
What?
It's a party hat. Limited time party hats. I guess it's a party hat. Look, it's not a penis.
The blue ones?
Yeah.
That's what they want you to think, Hallie. It's like Monster Energy doesn't want you to think that it says 666, but it does.
Oh, so that's what they think a guy has in his pants is a party hat, trying to make it seem harmless.
Wow. Yeah, I don't want to be eating bears along with a couple of blue Brisbane beans.
Well,
that's another word for it.
Looks like I have to boycott gummy bears. I mean, we really are. We got to be just...
There's going to be nothing left.
We're just a blink of an eye from the tribulation.
Yeah.
Can't even eat gummy bears anymore.
How was your week, Hallie?
Oh, you know what? I wanted to tell you, because you're a guy and you might like this. I got a gift for Lance, my husband, Lance Labonte.
Oh, yeah.
That is a Bible-based gift, and it's also kind of comedic, which I think, you know, everyone would really like. But have you ever seen, well, speaking of party hats, have you ever seen, in the same way that blue party hat candy had not just the, you know, branch, but the, I guess you can call them testicles.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We don't say that either, but go on.
Okay. Well, have you ever seen those big, long, swinging testicles that people hang on the back of their big trucks?
Oh, truck nuts. Yeah, I have some. They're hilarious. This is so great.
Well, you're going to love this, because better than truck nuts is a new company I just heard about that I'm so excited about, called Ecclesiasticals.
Okay.
And it's based on Ecclesiastes 3. You know, Ecclesiastes 3, for everything there is a season, a time to mourn,
turn,
a time to weep, a time to reap, and a time to sow, a time, and all the, you know, the song, turn, turn, turn. Well, there is a time when a guy has to stand up and be a man. You put Ecclesiasticals on the back of your car, I'm going to put them on the back of,
Lance's copper-colored Aztec. Wouldn't that look cool?
That would look cool. So how do ecclesiasticals differ from the truck nuts?
Well, they've got verses printed on them.
Oh, I see.
Bible verses. And also, you know, my husband, Lance Labonte, he's really into the idea, you know, the whole, I haven't read the book, but I've heard of it, the Jesus and John Wayne idea, that Jesus was a manly man.
Right.
You know
muscular
what I mean?
Muscular Christianity.
Muscular. He was like a cowboy. He was a good old boy. He had dust on his boots. He had biceps in his sleeves. He had ecclesiasticals in his pants. And he was a X and a Y chromosome. I'm trying to think of every other thing that makes a man a man. What does make a man?
You know, something else, Hallie, that I found is ever since I got my truck nuts, and you know, that is funny and fun. It's totally different than Harry Bauer, like putting summer sausages in your gummy bears.
Right.
That's different. That's grooming. That is indoctrination. What we're doing, we're just saying this is kind of a cute, funny thing. But I've also noticed, Hallie, that if you've got truck nuts on your car, my insurance went down because the instances of people running into the back of your car just go to zero.
That's awesome.
Nobody wants to mess with you. They don't want to tread on you.
Yeah,
you can also put that on the back of your car. Don't tread on me.
I do have one of those on my Lexus.
Me too. I never really know what it means, but I just like the symbol of it.
I wish there was a female equivalent to ecclesiasticals and truck nuts, because honestly, in my Lexus, you know, I would like to not be getting rear-ended all the time.
Well, you could always drive a Volvo.
Oh, because then that would be like having a Volvo back
no,
there?
No, Hallie. Sick. It's just the safest car.
Yeah, but Volvos are German and I only drive American.
Oh, good point.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
You're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like Jesus turned water to wine, our guest today sort of reverses that blessing to bring us God-honoring libations and mocktails at our wonderful Twin Hills dry bar, I guess you call it, Be of Good Cheers. Oh, I'm so excited to talk to one of my favorite humans on the planet, Mr. Trevor Fox. How you feeling today, my friend?
Oh, Hallie, it's such a pleasure to be here. And the feeling is mutual. Right back at you. You are absolutely one of my favorite humans. Hi, Gray. How are you doing?
Trevor, I want to talk to you about this amazing concept you've come up with, which is, and let me see if I've got this right, you have started a bar inside our church. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely correct, Gray. And you know, a lot of people have you know, come to me and ask me how I came up with such a creative, artistic, even almost genius out of the box idea, you know? And yeah, I got to give, you know, all glory to him at the highest. You know what I mean? This idea, it came to me in a dream, believe it or not. It really did.
Really?
That's right.
Amazing.
Wow. Just like Joseph and his dream coat and the and interpreting the Pharaoh's dreams, God dreamed this dry bar right into the Twin Hills' existence?
You know, it was meant to be. And I'm not trying to, you know, put too much, you know, flowers on me, but I just feel very blessed to be the guy ushering in such a wonderful place where all of the great children here can come together and fellowship.
So what was the dream?
I'm so glad you asked, Gray. So in this dream, I was in a den of darkness, you know.
Okay.
It was a bar, a regular bar.
Oh, no.
And, I, you know, loud heathen music was playing and cigarette smoke was filling the air,
you know,
women dancing on the tables.
Oh, no.
I know. And then in an instant, I didn't change locations, but everything got brighter and cleaner. And the music changed to some really cool Christian rock. And everyone was cleaner and hugging. And I realized that it's not the bar that's bad. It's the alcohol that's bad.
So true.
Yeah.
It's not the place. It's what people were doing and buying and bringing to the place. Well, I guess you can't bring anything into a bar.
Yeah,
right
no
now.
Outside food and bev.
Okay.
Yeah, really strict rules about that. It's actually against the law to bring alcohol into a bar. Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Oh, wow. Yeah, or to carry it out, right?
You can't That's right. Yeah. That out, That's
it?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you came up with this idea of a dry bar inside a church, meaning you're not serving alcohol, but you're giving this amazing fellowship experience to Christians who might want to hang out with other Christians in a social, fun setting, but you really don't need alcohol to have fun, do you? And
not
to
right.
and to worship.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. Because what do people love about bars? They love fancy drinks. They love hanging out with their friends. They like meeting new people. You know, it's a great place to maybe find your future better half. Gray, I know you're on the market still. Maybe you come by.
Oh, he is an eligible batch.
Yeah, but,
but it's a great place for all those sorts of things, you know. But what we've done is we've removed the sin and the temptation of the sin. Because a lot of people told me, why don't you just go to a regular bar and not drink? That's not possible. That's literally impossible. So.
Yeah, that's like going to a strip club and not seeing a naked gal. Now, here goes the thing, though. Isn't the thing that most people are doing in bars? I mean, of course, you probably have the occasional, you know, well-meaning person there to maybe meet someone because they're lonely or something. But I guess my impression of most bars is that what people were doing was going in there with some of these knockout pills, drugging people's drinks and dragging their lifeless bodies out of there to have their way with them. Is that, you know, that's pretty prevalent, right?
In the real world, Hallie, it happens, I would probably say 60 to 70% of the time if you go into a
really?
Bar. That's yeah,
really?
I think so.
Wow, that's no joke.
Which is another reason why, you know, Be of Good Cheers is so none of our guests are doing anything like that.
I love that name, Be of Good Cheers. That is such a great name for a dry bar. I want to ask you, you know, how do you know so much about bars? I mean, was that something that you knew before you started this awesome dry bar?
Yeah.
Well, Gray, I'm trying to put the past behind me. Keeps getting pulled back in along. We
okay,
can never
I'm
truly
sorry.
Escape it, I guess. But no, that's okay. I just, I did used to be an actual bartender in an actual bar. The dream I mentioned before actually had taken place during one of my shifts when I had passed out on the bar.
Oh.
That's when I had my dream, yeah.
Oh, because you were drinking as a bartender?
Oh, sure. You know, I'm a pretty friendly guy. People like talking to me and it's, you know, so they buy me a drink or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine or 10 or 11 or 12 or 13 or 14 or 15, you know, and after 15.
Yeah.
Or six. Yeah. 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 lights out after that. So
holy smokes. That's probably why they say drug dealers shouldn't try their own product. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of insidious products out there on the market that sneakily have alcohol in them. And you wouldn't even know until I became a mom. I had to smack some kombucha right out of my daughter's hand the other day because I said, I think there's some kind of fermentation process going on there. You got your cough syrups, you got your bitters. You know, alcohol can show up everywhere because the devil is sneaky.
It is so true, Hallie. I mean, the only time, and I've never had alcohol, but I have been drunk one time.
What?
And I know, and it happened to me similar. I basically got punked by, you know, my two stupid little cousins at a wedding.
Oh, no.
Gillis and Brando, and the, you know, the ages of 6 and age of 9. And they're these little outback, they're basically feral children, and they had gotten the nasty little paws on some Brummy Shine. Oh. And I don't know if you know what that is,
no.
But it's a toilet bowl cleaner that you specifically use for IVs.
Oh, no.
And they live in an IV, so they had access to it, even though it was under some kind of lock and key. But my, you know, the long story short, but that side of the family we don't really talk to. But they handed me a cup full of what they said was lemonade.
Okay.
And of course, I'm thinking, hey, they've peed in a cup. I'm not going to drink that. But then I smelled it and it smelled good.
Oh.
And it ended up being Brummy Shine. And I drank this stuff and I just went absolutely crazy, Hallie. I mean, it made me do things that I don't ever want to really remember. So I've been there. You know, I just, it's something I carry with me, and I don't like it when people drag it back into the light. And so I've just, you know, I put it at the foot of the cross because I had to, because my stupid, just idiot little
cousins. It's covered in the
blood.
Yeah. And you didn't mean to. And, you know, intention matters, you know, and God knows your heart. But I mean, were you blacked out? Do you know what happened? I mean, do we know that you've saved yourself indeed for marriage?
Well, I here's the thing, Hallie, is it actually made me way more alert.
Okay.
So I was, but I still couldn't control myself.
Okay.
So, you know, it made me physically do things. I kept trying to pick up things that were clearly like that. I would say, you
bolted
know, give me the
heavy,
heaviest thing possible.
Okay. A car.
Right. I mean, it was a golf cart. In this instance, I turned over a bunch of golf carts because they were, it was a golf wedding. I was like, how far do you think I can hit this golf ball? I hit a golf ball and it hit my gran in a temple. That was bad. And she's fine. Well, she was fine. She lost verbal for a while. And then, you know, just the more I drank the Brummy Shine, the more stuff I wanted to physically try to do.
I see.
And yeah, you know, ladies, I would try to pick up ladies, and I don't mean in the sex way. I mean, I would literally try to pick up the largest lady at the party.
Okay.
And I did easily.
Oh, really? Lift her over your head? Or
right,
what do you
do? Yeah. Well, I lifted her up and I threw her, actually, because I was like, how far do you think I can throw her? And I it was further than anyone thought I could.
Like shot put.
Right. And she was the bride. And that was a sad thing for her wedding day. And I, you know, I have to come to grips with that. So I don't really like to talk about it.
But it might have been a way to show off more angles of the dress. I feel like you always want the full, like, you know, you want to say rotate and let's see the whole train and everything.
Well,
I mean, if you got her airborne.
Beautiful, Hallie.
Yeah.
When she's in the air, luckily they got a few great shots and it looks like she's underwater, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And, but it was me throwing her very high above my head. And she's 6'6", you know, just a very, very well built lady. And I just, you know, tossed her like she was nothing, like a muffin.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Greg. I could tell how painful it was for you to talk about it.
I don't like to talk about it. I really don't like to talk about it. But, you know, the Brummy Shine just made me. I mean, some people say it's liquid methamphetamine is sort of what it is.
It's actually banned over here in America. I've heard of Brummy Shine before. Yeah, it's got pretty high street value, actually. If you're able to smuggle any back, you can turn a good profit for it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it sounds like you kept hitting the Brummy Shine. Is it the type of thing where then you don't know even what you're doing?
Oh, no, Hallie. It's like alcohol where people put it in front of you and you're having a great time even though no one around you is.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so fun. Yeah, it's really great.
Really?
Yeah, it's the best.
Mm-hmm. I've always wondered, does drunkenness feel like, because I've never consumed a bit of alcohol in my life, and I've always wondered what drunkenness feels like. Do you feel like you're in a dream, like you're falling asleep, like you're somebody else? I just can't even wrap my head around it. And I always wondered why with booze we call it drunk, but with drugs we call it high. What's the difference between drunk and high?
Well, Hallie, when you're drunk, you feel... You start like you feel like a superhero.
Okay.
And everything is amazing and you're just the most confident and you feel like you can punch through a brick wall, and like Grace said, you can hoist up that a large woman and throw her. And that, and then but it slowly drunks you down. So by the end of it, then you feel like, "Oh no, actually now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it's just because drunk is a play on the word drink."
Oh, yep. That might be it.
That's it.
I bet that is it. And I did punch a brick wall as well when I was on drinks, you know.
Wow.
You're on drinks. Yeah. Do you do much martial art?
Not until that day. And then I realized I have a natural capacity for it. I sort of inherently knew how to do it.
Well, you definitely have the body for it just looking at you.
Oh, thank you.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
I do want to ask you, Trevor, what was the bar that you were working at when you had the dream?
Oh, it was just one of the darkest places in Indiana. Just really a real den of sin, a really dark and dingy place. It's a TGI Fridays is what they call it.
Wow. Well, God's in the name. So, you know, he was just so slowly scooting you in the right direction, if you ask
That's
me.
That's right.
I mean, it's it's not called TGI Sundays for a reason. Well, and I know it's just exactly sick, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think, you know, I read something on one of my websites that it's actually owned by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Is that right? That is,
wow.
That's worrisome. It's really worrisome. And, you know, speaking of Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, I often feel like our sinful nature, it pulls us, it deceives us into believing that we want to have fun and pleasure in life. And I feel like people use the calendar itself as almost like a little a sin boomerang. Like Friday comes and, you know, you're going to go out, you're going to maybe drug someone and pull their lifeless body to your car or some such. And then, because you know what? You know you're going to be sitting at church on Sunday. And you know that you can go in and that it's covered in the blood and that Jesus died on the cross for that very thing you did that very Friday night, whatever it may have been. You know, maybe you buried someone in a shallow grave. Maybe you burned someone with chemicals in a big...
I did that, actually.
Is that right?
That was another thing I did. Yeah, I'm just remembering it now. They were like, could you pick up all this chlorine? I was by the pool at the golf club, and there were huge buckets of chlorine. And they were like, could you pick that up? And I said, yeah. Oh, actually, no one asked me that. They said, don't pick that up. And I was like, I bet I can pick that up. And I did pick it up. And then I threw it at my cousins, Gillis and Brando. And, put it this way, Brando lived up to his name because he got pretty bad chemical burns when I threw a giant barrel of chlorine at that little idiot.
At the nine-year-old, yeah.
Right.
And I've always wondered how the medical system works in Australia, because I know everything's opposite there.
Everything's out of pocket,
you know,
Hallie.
It's summer here, it's winter there. You know, the toilets drain the opposite way down the toilet.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, up is down, black is white. And I often wondered, what happens if you call 911 in Australia?
That's the strange thing, is it takes a very long time to get there because we've essentially defunded it. But the good thing is that, you know, if it's a major medical expense, it is going to be completely covered by the government if you survive until the 911 gets there. Of course, you know, for us, it's 119. And then if it's a minor medical thing, it's going to be completely out of pocket. And, you know, you could walk into a shoe store you know, and get a wart removed. And that's going to be, you know, on the government, because we've got small clinics set up everywhere to cover the small stuff. So it's an interesting system.
And there, does the insurance just give you a bunch of money up front real easily and then you figure it out later? Or what? How does that go?
Well, there's no insurance, Hallie, in Australia. It's what we have is it's everybody in the country pays into what's called the medical lottery.
Oh.
And it's a big pot of money. And every year you get a number. And if your number hits, hey, you get a chunk of that money, and it's pretty great. But of course, this, you know, statistically, it's pretty hard to get.
Well, I don't want to get too much into Australia stuff, but I have wondered before, if you have a whole country and island of folks who are prisoners, essentially, mm-hmm. then what is your prison system like? Is that where people go to be good and upright, well-behaved people, protecting themselves from all the prisoners outside the...
Well, the patients are running the asylum, Hallie. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
You know what I would say Trevor, is I just want to catch the vibe of what's going on in this bar. So you come into our food court and you've built, you know, it looks like you've built
the
artifice of an old kind of Irish pub.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a set and you walk in.
Brass railings.
It's so great. It's like a house inside our house of worship, and you come in to be of good cheers, and it is just, I mean, it feels like you're in a cool pub.
Oh, thank you so much for noticing. Yeah, for anyone who hasn't been by, we're situated right across from the Chinese food place, and you can't miss us, because it really, we've got nice polished mahogany bar, the brass railings, like you said. You know, we've got a couple TVs put up there that, you know, if you want to catch a rerun of one of Pastor Steve's great sermons is up there, or like one of the concerts from the Christian bands we have coming through. Really, really fun. And then what's really great, if you come by on a Thursday night, we do Christian karaoke.
It's awesome.
Great. Yeah, it's really fun. We sing songs from bands like, you know, Christian rock bands like Reliant K, Toby Mac, Skillet.
Oh,
yeah.
The best.
Even, you know, if I have a band, you probably know already, some of our songs are in there. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty great.
Amazing.
Yeah, your band is good. I have heard you doing open mic nights here around in the atrium. And
Promise of PETA? Is
yeah.
That your band?
That's
right. Yeah, Promise of PETA. I'm so glad you said that. I keep trying to get Pastor Steve to let us play the main service. And he just keeps saying that he's pre-booked out, but you know, I hopefully.
Well, don't give up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't give up, because I'll tell you what, Christian karaoke has. It's. I think it's going to get us through this long, dark winter. To be honest with you, Trevor, I was in there singing some Rebecca St. James last Thursday, and if I might just give a shout out to Trevor's mocktail skills, I went in there with a couple of gals from my book club, introduced them all to Trevor, and he started hooking us up with these pitchers of. Well, I don't know what it was, but it was tasty. It was tangy. It was kind of sweet. It had salt around the rim. We had these fancy cold glasses that were steaming. What was that again, Trevor? It was awesome.
That's right. That's right. You all got pictures of our Mary Marg. The line, which is of course
the Mary Marg. It was so good.
That's right. It's our take on the margarita. I'm so glad you liked it. Yeah.
And I feel like it's a comment on femininity as well, because you got the sweet and the savory in there. And let's be honest, I can have a salty side as well as a sweet side. So I feel like you really know your clientele.
That is right. Tell us a little bit more about the menu at this Christian dry bar. What kind of cocktails can we expect?
So it's really important to me, Gray, that as I was coming up with this menu, not only do all the drinks taste amazing, but they also are God-honoring in their names. You know,
awesome.
I want to bring people through these extremely sugary beverages. I want them to, you know, remember why we're here.
Yes.
So we've got some really fun ones on here. We've got the Son of Manhattan.
That one's good.
Which, of course, is a play out of Manhattan.
I've had the Son of Manhattan. It's good. It's really good.
I mean, I've heard of the place, you know, sick.
Yeah,
it's a big news town.
Well, this is kind of an upgrade from that, I think. We've got No Sin and Tonic, which is, of course, a play on a gin and tonic,
so
right? But, of course, no gin.
Yeah, very wintry taste. I like that one.
It does, yeah. It's got a little bit of juniper in it.
Juniper!
Juniper.
Wow, is it okay for us to consume junipers?
I think so.
Wow. I would think that's one of those toxic berries out in the woods. Mm-hmm. You know, how you can't eat certain mushrooms and whatnot.
Well, you have to prepare it with a certain amount of craft.
Oh.
You know, I wouldn't recommend, if you're listening to this and you just want to throw some junipers in your drink, I wouldn't recommend that. But I feel pretty confident that we're doing it right.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Oh, because it's Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just thought because it's a wintry berrying bush and you don't eat holly berries. I mean, you can look at holly berries. She's a beautiful gal, won an Oscar, but you can't eat a holly berry.
Got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
What else you got?
I really like this one's fun. It's called Sex on a Beach, but it's not what you're thinking. It's Sex, S-E-C-T-S.
That is that is awesome. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. Finally, we can have sex on a beach.
It's about time, isn't it?
One of my favorites that I actually start every day with, I call the Lazarus, because it'll raise you from the dead. And what that is, that's just 4 shots of espresso mixed, blended with a grape rock star, topped with some whipped cream.
Awesome.
And it will, boom, it'll wake you right up.
Oh, that's
amazing. I mean, it's like a Monster Energy drink is something in a martini glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't use Monster Energy drinks because I'm sure you are aware that their labeling is satanic. So I don't use Monster,
Yep. Mm-hmm. I've seen that footage.
Isn't that such a bummer that everything just has satanic labeling these days?
Everything does.
It's everywhere.
Days.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Except for Adidas. You know, the one that I noticed that jumped out to me, I liked Penicillin. That seems like a delicious drink, and reminding everybody that, you know, put it at the foot of the cross, like, you know, I had to that one time that I did get it drunk and even stronger than I am now.
And if I might offer you a word basket of encouragement, Trevor, you're educating people, because I had one Martini Luther, ended up having to talk to my kids on the way home about Martin Luther.
That's
and
right.
What's the difference between Martin Luther and Martin Luther King Jr.? Turns out it's two different people, same name, but one has a little bit added on the end. And I got to have this really, really great talk with my kids about history, you know, and about the 95 theses. I think it was in Germany, and I don't know if that's what started World War II or what, but either way, gave the Americans an opportunity to be heroic and to make us all feel good about, you know, being God's chosen people. I mean, I know he originally chose, but I feel like it has transferred to us. We've kind of taken on the mantle. We're the adopted child, I think, of God's preferred child.
The adopted favorite child.
Yeah.
That's right.
I also wanted to ask, though, Trevor, and I know we're going to get this because we have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of listeners that listen to this podcast that are believers, thank goodness, but we do have haters who just listen to the podcast because they're always looking to just jump on whatever Christians are doing. They're trying to copy it. They're trying to put it down. And what do you say to the critics who are going, hey, a bar without alcohol is boring. It's not fun. The whole point of going to a bar is to get a little bit loose and drop your inhibitions and to have fun, have a few pops, as they say in Australia, be sociable, meet people. But alcohol is kind of this unifying, you know, thing that we do. And, you know, a bar without alcohol is basically, you know, and some people have said this in the comments I've read on the Yelp reviews of Be of Good Cheer. They've said it's basically like it's a small world set inside a food court of a church with no alcohol, and it's a bummer.
Yeah, I've seen those same reviews saying it's just a Jamba Juice with a wood countertop, you know, and it's just a, I've seen I've seen all of that. And, you know, you can't let that stuff get to you. You can't get it down. And to anyone, you know, who is trying to put me down, I would just say you got to come in and try it, you know. Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them, you know? And we have so many fresh fruits at our bar. We're making fresh apple juice. We're making fresh squeezed orange juice. We're using fresh lime and lemon. We've got even the weird fruits. We've got passion fruit, which is like really slimy. I didn't know. We got star fruit. We got dragon fruit. We got cherries, strawberry, all the berries. We've got so many fruits. So I'm saying, you know, by their fruits ye shall know them. Come in and give it a try.
You know, it really does sound like a Jamba Juice, doesn't it?
And I have to thank you for keeping us, keeping the fruits and veggies in our diet, Trev. I feel like you're really keeping us healthy. Honestly, he gave me a Bloody Mary, mother of God, the other day. It had a cucumber. It had a celery stick in it. It had olives. It had green olives, black olives. I said, is this a salad bar or a drink?
That's
and
right.
I mean, I felt fantastic, right? I got my fiber and all that.
You know, our bodies are temples and we got to take care of them, you know, and the Bible's really clear about what we should not put in our bodies.
Yep.
It, you know,
yep.
Do not put alcohol in your bodies.
Yep.
You know, thank goodness it doesn't say anything about sugar, because some of that Sex on the Beach is just pure sugar, basically. But it's not in there. So,
or pork, because I love bacon. The thing about people criticizing you, Trev, and saying that a dry bar is boring and whatnot, and it's going to prohibit them from being able to, you know, knock somebody out and drag them to their car. I think you're ahead of the game, honestly, because what my kids are telling me, in the same way kids aren't watching TV, they're watching YouTube. Well, same thing. The way we as teenagers were trying to steal things out of the old lady's liquor cabinet, kids aren't into that anymore. They're not doing the booze thing. We've been pumping them up with pills since they were in the second grade, and they're on the pill track. I mean, my kids tell me, like, they're not really smoking or drinking anything at these parties, these illicit, you know, teen gatherings. They're all popping pills. So,
really? Isn't it so scary?
So bars are going to go out anyway when the new generation isn't drinking. So you know, if that gives you any kind of word basket of encouragement, hang in there, because I think you're ahead of the curve. And I also wanted to mention to our listeners out there, Trevor is also a very eligible bachelor, just like Gray
really?
Here.
Well,
and he is a catch. And I think he's a smart one's going to catch him. I think he's a ride, and a smart one's going to ride him. Because I'll tell you what, Trevor, I mean, not only did you play some minor league ball, you were a pitcher for the Gary Railcats up there in Gary, Indiana, but also, if I might point out, you got some chemistry with the gal you got there slinging some of these mocktails. Shelley Longmire is a hoot and a holler.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, we have a kind of a complicated history.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, but she is my business partner, you know. She does.
Okay. Oh, cool.
She, you know, the little coconut Christ carvings where he's walking on top of the dark and stormy. She actually, that was her idea.
Part of the reason I even go into Be of Good Cheer is just to kind of watch the witty repartee between the two of you.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah. She keeps saying funny things like, don't come within 6 feet of me, and like, stop writing notes and like passing them past the plexiglass and stuff. She's really funny. It's really good. Yeah.
You know, who is the older gentleman? There is kind of a sad older gentleman that is sits at the end of the bar that everyone sort of cheers when he comes in.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Mo.
Because he comes in and everyone's like, Mo.
Yeah. So he tries to, you know, he's always asking for extra garnishes. You know, I think that's his dinner. You know, he's always asking for free, you know, maraschino cherries with his water.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, if we want to be a safe haven for everyone, and even, you know, the lowliest among us, you know, I like to think of Mo as like a modern day leper, you know,
he's
a modern day leper.
Oh, and Jesus loves a leper.
And as a bartender, you're probably getting to hear all those, you know, stories, really, and people's pain, and they need someone to talk to. And sometimes they don't feel comfortable, going to Steve or to me or somebody that they can trust with those things. They want to go to someone across a bar. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yeah. But bartenders, they're also kind of psychologists and psychiatrists. I don't know what the difference between the psychologist and the psychiatrist is, but basically,
I don't think there
you
is
open
one.
Up. Are they the same thing? That sounds right.
Yeah, I think they're the same thing. It's
both a waste of money.
It's like if you say astrologer or astronomer, it's the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Thank you. Yeah.
Cosmologist,
that's right.
Cosmetologist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like there's variations on the same word.
Yeah. All that to say that, yeah, it's pretty common. You know, I know a lot of people's secrets, and I do. I have a joke I like to say, you know, just like doctor patient confidentiality or you know, pastor and member confidentiality.
Yep.
If you're telling your secrets to me, you've got a bartender guest confidentiality. Your secret's safe with me for sure.
Wow. Do bartenders take like a Hippocratic oath?
We have our own oath. It's
awesome.
It's not Hippocratic, but we do have a bartender's oath that we take. Yeah.
That's
cool.
Great. I'd love to hear it.
Well, you're going to have to be a bartender then.
Oh, is it secret?
It's a secret. Yeah. I could tell you, but Bartenders Alliance would come after me, especially if we were on a public place like this where everyone could hear it.
It makes sense that the bartender thing is a secret creed, because it's the same with the doctors. They'll never let us know what's in that Hippocratic Oath. Why? Because then we know the ways in which they're being hypocrites. I do have one question before we let you go, Trev, is what happens in between a cherry being picked in nature and it becoming a maraschino cherry? If you look, it's unrecognizable. A cherry is big, plump, and so dark it's almost black. Then you pull out a maraschino cherry, and I'm not complaining. I love them. I think they're delicious, and I'll eat them by the jar. But what happens there? Is it a transformation, kind of like what happens as we become more Christ-like? Is this a real God-honoring example of a fruit? Or a berry? I don't even know what it is.
That's exactly right. I like to think of more of a conversion, because it starts kind of dark and there's a hard pit in there. And then it goes through this process that can, sometimes it can be a tricky, tough process. The journey that we all go on in our conversion stories can be challenging, you know, but this maraschino cherry, it gets bleached and then it gets dyed red, and basically everything that it used to be is left in the past. So like that bleaching process can be like a baptism, right?
Awesome.
And then it's soaked in just obscene amounts of sugar and syrup for the rest of its days. And it's sweet and bright until, you know, it gets stabbed and dropped in the bottom of a Manhattan.
Yeah, these things will survive an apocalypse. After God raptures all of us, these maraschino cherries will last through the whole trials and tribulations. Hey,
that's right.
are these for us that you're putting? Are these shot glasses? What is this?
That's right. Speaking of maraschino cherries, Grain Hallie, if it's okay before we go, I want to cheers you with a shot that I invented. It's called the Holy Trinity shot.
Great.
So it's a layered shot. It's going to have three layers.
Awesome.
This makes a great object lesson too, because people are always like, how can God and Christ and the Holy Ghost be three the same if they're three separate? Well, this drink has three ingredients, but it's one drink.
I love that.
Awesome.
Isn't that fun?
Just shoot it back?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's really nice.
Wow.
Well, I guess as we say, cheers, right?
cheers.
Yeah. Be of good cheers.
Down the hatch. Do we just consume the flame like this? Okay.
Woo! Isn't that nice?
I think I got some Brummy Shine.
Trevor Fox was played by the absolutely lovely Travis Cox. Oh, I really do love him so much. Check out his incredible, creative, awesome podcast, Storm Chaser Podcast, and also follow him at Travis L. Cox. I'm Hallie Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Grey Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.